The desk sergeant had called the captain, and the captain had called a detective who had just gotten off the day shift. The detective was called Miles Carson. Carson had sent squad cars north, and the hunt had begun. The weather had been good, and there had been an hour of twilight, and then darkness had fallen. Carson himself had arrived on scene within 40 minutes. The next 12 hours had unfolded pretty much the way Dorothy had described over breakfast. The house-to-house canvas, the flashlight searches, the loud hailer appeals to check every barn and outbuilding, the all-night motor patrols, the arrival of the dogs at first light, the state police contribution, the National Guard's loan of a helicopter. Miles Carson was a thorough man, but he had gotten no result. In principle, Reacher might have criticized a couple of things. No reason to wait until dawn to call in the dogs, for instance. Dogs can work in the dark. But it was a moot point anyway, because as soon as Margaret had gotten on her bicycle, her scent had disappeared, suspended in the air, whisked away by the breeze, insulated by rubber tires. The dogs tracked her to her own driveway, and that was all. The loudhailer appeals for folks to search their own property were curiously circular, too, because what was a guilty party going to do, turn himself in? Although, in Carson's defense, foul play was not yet suspected. The first Carson had heard about local suspicions had come at 9 the next morning, when Dorothy Coe had broken down and spilled the beans about the Duncans. That interview had lasted an hour and filled 9 pages of notes. Then Carson had gotten right on it. But from the start, the Duncans had looked innocent. They even had an alibi. 5 years earlier, they had sold the family farm, retaining only a T-shaped acre that encompassed their driveway and their 3 houses. And in the country way of things, they had never gotten around to marking off their new boundaries. Their neighbors' last plowed furrows were their property line. But eventually they decided to put up a post and rail fence. It was a big production, much heavier and sturdier than was standard. They hired 4 local teenagers to come do the work. The 4 boys had been there all day on that Sunday, dawn to dusk, measuring, sawing, digging deep holes for the posts. The 3 Duncans and the 8-year-old Seth had been right there with them, all day, dawn to dusk, supervising, directing, checking up, helping out. The 4 boys confirmed that the Duncans had never left the property, and no one had stopped by, least of all a little girl in a green dress on a pink bicycle. Even so, Carson had hauled the Duncans in for questioning. By that point, a hint of foul play was definitely in the air, so the state police had to be involved because of jurisdiction issues. So the Duncans were taken to a state barracks over near Lincoln. Seth went with them and was questioned by female officers, but had nothing to say. The 3 adults were grilled for days. Nebraska in the 1980s. Rules and procedures were pretty loose where child kidnapping was suspected. But the Duncans admitted nothing. They allowed their property to be searched, voluntarily. Carson's people did the job thoroughly, which wasn't hard because there wasn't much property. Just the T-shaped acre of land bounded by the unfinished post and rail fence and the 3 houses themselves. Carson's people found nothing. Carson called the FBI, who sent a team equipped with the latest 1980s technology. The FBI found nothing. The Duncans were released, driven home, and the case went cold. Reacher crawled across the room, back to the first carton, hands and knees, overview completed, ready to start in on the fine details. The doctor didn't answer. He just stood there, bruised, sore, shaking, sweating. Jacob Duncan repeated the question. "Where is Reacher now?" The doctor said,
"I would like to sit down."
"Have you been drinking?"
"A little." at the motel?
No, the doctor said. I figured Mr. Vincent wouldn't serve me.
So, where were you drinking?
At home.
And then you walked to the motel?
Yes.
Why?
I needed something from my car. Some medical equipment.
So you were already drunk when you stole our truck?
Yes.
I wouldn't have done it if I was sober.
Where is Reacher now?
I don't know. Would you like a drink? The doctor said.
A drink?
You're familiar with the concept, I think.
Yes, I would like a drink.
Jacob Duncan got up and stepped across his kitchen to a cabinet on the wall. He opened it up and took out a bottle of wild turkey, almost full. From another cabinet he took a glass. He carried both back to the table and set them down. He took stuff off a chair in the corner, a pair of boots, old mail, a bowl of string, and he carried the chair across the room and placed it behind the doctor. He said,
"Sit down, please, and help yourself."
The doctor sat down and shuffled the chair closer to the table and uncorked the bottle. He poured himself a generous measure and drank it all in one go. He poured a second glass. Jacob Duncan asked, "Where is Reacher now?" The doctor said,
"I don't know."
"I think you do, and it's time to make your choice. You can sit here with us and drink my fine bourbon and pass the time of day in pleasant conversation, or we could do it another way. We could have Seth break your nose, for instance."
"I'm pretty certain he would like to."
"Or we could have your wife join us, and we could subject her to petty humiliations. My guess is she wouldn't put up much of a fight, having known us all these years. No marks, no overt damage. But the shared experience might have an effect on your marriage in the years to come, you having shown yourself unable to defend her, because she'll see it as unwilling, not unable. You should think about it."
"Reacher's gone."
"Gone?"
"He left this afternoon."
"How?"
"He got a ride."
"Impossible," Jacob said. "We blocked the road, north and south.